in the limelight.
As Arabs and Muslim communities in the United States were subjected to institutionalized racial profiling, this too frequently encouraged individual anti-Arab and Islamophobic actors who further intimidated and committed acts of violence against Arab and Muslim individuals in everyday life. We now present you an article written by Nadine Naber. The piece is titled, 20 Years After Patriot Act, Surveillance of Arabs and Muslims is Relentless. The United States is now more than 20 years beyond the Patriot Act of October 2001. The immediate aftermath of 9/11 brought a heavy U.S. state focus on Arabs and Muslims in the United States, rationalizing an expansion of policing and surveillance activities against them. It also inspired the convergence of shared struggles for liberation out of a growing consensus that we cannot abolish policing without abolishing U.S. militarism and empire building. The anything-goes context of 9/11 opened up possibilities for expanded forms of policing and surveillance that are unconstitutional. The National Security Entry-Exit Registration System, or NSEERS, also known as Special Registration, put in place by the Department of Justice in 2002, targeted Arabs and Muslims as well as those from West Asia and South Asia. Overly broad interpretations of material support laws denied people, generally Arabs and Muslims, their freedom and even threatened some forms of humanitarian aid. But none of this was entirely new. All this was preceded by President Richard Nixon's Operation Boulder, which law professor Susan Akram has described as perhaps the first concerted U.S. government effort to target Arabs in the United States for special investigation with the specific purpose of intimidation, harassment, and to discourage their activism on issues relating to West Asia. Ironically, Timothy McVeigh's 1995 Oklahoma City attack opened the door to the Clinton administration pushing forward a legislative effort allowing the government to use evidence from secret sources in deportation proceedings for aliens suspected of terrorist involvement. The New York Times reported under the measure, the government would not have to disclose the source of the damaging information to the person whom it is seeking to deport. A white extremist then had carried out a deadly bombing, but it was Arabs and Muslims, including black Arabs and black Muslims, who faced the prospect of deportation without ever being able to confront their accuser, or even know the identity of those accusing them. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, the 1996 Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act established a new court charged only with hearing cases in which the government seeks to deport aliens accused of engaging in terrorist activities based on secret evidence submitted in the form of classified information. The 1996 Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act expanded the secret evidence court so that secret evidence could be more easily used to deport even lawful permanent residents as terrorists. As Arab and Muslim communities were subjected to institutionalized racial profiling, this too frequently encouraged individual anti-Arab and Islamophobic actors who further intimidated and committed acts of violence against Arab and Muslim individuals in everyday life. Between 2000 and 2009, these violent incidents increased by over 500%. Since 2016, 484 incidents of hate-motivated violence have been reported, and many continue to remain unreported. In West Asia, North African and South Asian regions, of course, the US military killed people en masse while engaging in torture. The US government also supported authoritarian dictators like Egypt's Hosni Mubarak, who would further the US imperialist agenda and simultaneously collaborate in the ongoing colonization of Palestine and the siege of the Gaza Strip. According to the Project on Government Oversight's Jake LaPerouque, the US, in its rush to crack down on these domestic communities, swept up international communications on an enormous and unprecedented scale. LaPerouque also notes that internal US communications were surveyed, and as were internet metadata. When eventually disclosed, this surveillance troubled and infuriated people across the political spectrum, some who cared about ending racial profiling of Arabs and Muslims, and some who generally had spent years inflaming such hatred. Many strands of society were incensed that their communications were being monitored by the government, yet those with history in US-based Global South liberation movements, who were targeted by programs like Nixon's counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, or those whose ancestors were killed via collaborations between the Ku Klux Klan, KKK, and the FBI, knew all too well that the Constitution was meant to protect white supremacy rather than protecting all Americans. The George W. Bush administration had effectively circumvented the Fourth Amendment with its protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. Attempts to override the entirely bankrupt legislative action of the USA Freedom Act of 2015 was a consequence less out of concern over targeting Muslims and Arabs than anger over the widespread sweeping up of so much information about US citizens. Read White People. I lived through these past 20 years between communities in California, Illinois, and Michigan. The fear was very real. While working-class Arab Muslim immigrant men over the age of 16 were forced to register at their local Immigration and Naturalization Service office as part of the NSEERS program, their loved ones stood outside wondering if they would ever see them again. The reports of violence against Arabs and Muslims and those perceived to belong to those categories were terrifyingly routine. Some stories reached the mainstream media, most circulated simply through word of mouth. Now, in 2021, following the defeat of former President Donald Trump and his open promotion of anti-Muslim policies, we are witnessing the culmination of efforts led by Muslims and Arabs in the United States to build community-based power beyond the psychological and emotional incarceration endured between the Bush and Trump years. The Arab Resource and Organizing Center in California's Bay Area, along with the Arab American Action Network in Chicago, Illinois, have for years fought back in coalition to support anti-imperialist and abolitionist principles. Arabs and Muslim movements are affirming that just because Donald Trump is out doesn't mean these efforts will relent under President Joe Biden, especially not with his interventionist history and long years of support for Israelis' colonial policies that have been killing, containing, and displacing Palestinians with American weaponry. These organizations recognize that U.S. empire building connects movements fighting anti-black police violence, those pressing back against anti-Arab U.S. militarism and the war on terror, as well as groups resisting the militarization of the border and the ongoing colonization of native lands. Shortly after 9/11, I remember the national coalitions like Racial Justice 9/11 that grew overnight when tens of social movements affirmed their unity in the face of the expanding powers of the U.S. nation state. Today, similar coalitions are inspired by the shared concern over the ways U.S. counterinsurgency tactics that repress movements have expanded, violently justifying the repression of blacks, indigenous peoples, and the people of color, and groups like the Movement for Black Lives. When the Bush administration consolidated its internal war on Arabs and Muslims with the Patriot Act, it helped show Donald Trump the power to move a portion of the U.S. public towards increasingly outward-facing white supremacy. Yet, it also set in motion new coalitions. These coalitions have urgently grown out of the imperialist and racist policies implemented first by President George W. Bush, and then even more by Donald J. Trump.